Devil Won't Let Me Be, written by Black Cat, read by Opalsong. Fandom, Katakyo Hitman Reborn, and Naruto. Rating, mature. Warning, graphic depictions of violence. Relationships, Xansus Obito and Dino Squallo. Also tagged for dimension travel, friendship, humor. Warning, Xansus. Explicit language. Squallo is so done. With everyone. Vadia ridiculousness. It's Bird's fault. Technically. Tsuna is also so done.
Well, the crooks are out in the streets all gray. You know I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah. Your mother's words, they're ringing still. But your mother don't pay our bills. Yeah. A sinister kid is a kid who runs to meet his maker. A drop that split from the day he's born straight into his maker's arms. And that's me. That's me. The boy with the broken halo. That's me. That's me. The devil won't let me be.
Chapter 1. The Vadia hadn't had a cloud officer in decades, since well before Xansus decided that cleaning house was best done with submachine guns and the biggest wood chipper he could find upon coming out of the ice. It's also, Squallo knows, not much a surprise that no one is leaping to volunteer. The Vadia are famous, but more for Xansus's temper than anything. And the other officers' unique personalities don't exactly encourage anyone less distinct to try out. They're also definitely not getting Gola Mosca back, Squallo thinks, grimacing at the stack of forms Timoteo had passed him the moment he tried to edge their conversation in that direction. Bastard old man knows exactly how to distract him, because Squallo was sure as hell too busy yelling about how he was going to be the one forced to do all this shit to remember that Xansus wanted him to get the Gola Mosca repaired and returned to them. And now, Xansus is probably going to throw the whole liquor cabinet at him. Fan-fucking-tastic! God forbid the shitty boss talk to his own fucking father, more or less, and actually get what he wants, rather than sending Squallo to deal with all the bullshit. Some days, Squallo is absolutely convinced that torturing him is Xansus's hobby. Really, what the fuck else could it be? When he slams into the wide room where most of the Vadia officers tend to gather, not entirely certain whether he wants company or just someone to yell at, Mammon and Belphegor are the only ones present, apparently engrossed in a card game. Squallo's never seen Go Fish played for money before. But it's Mammon. He's not surprised. Voy! He snarls at them. Because though they're not nearly as satisfying a target as Levy would be, they're still decent. What do you two lazy assholes think you're doing in here? Mammon's hood is still firmly pulled down, but Squallo can feel the derisive glance they cast him.
Be quiet. You're going to make me lose my concentration.
You're psychic, Squallo sputters, offended by the very idea. And, boy, why do you need concentration for fucking Go Fish?
She, the prince is winning.
Belle waves him off, ignoring the much larger pile of coins on Mammon's side of the table.
Go bother someone else, peasant.
Why you? Oh my, Squallo, you're back. Lusuria drapes his coat artfully across the back of the sofa and sprawls just as artfully beside it. Our fearless leader missed you.
Squallow scoffs loudly. You mean he missed having someone to throw his damned empty bottles at, that shitty drunkard? Lusuria giggles, fanning his face lightly.
Well, of course. Did you manage to secure Golomoska and an appropriate sacrifice for us?
With a growl, Squallow hurls himself into the other chair, dumping the pile of paperwork on the end of the table.
Maybe he can conveniently forget it, and then sneak it into Levy's office later. God knows that if anyone deserves it, it's the ass-kissing little twerp.
Vongola Nono isn't giving us a Golomoska, he says sourly. He changed the subject every time I tried to bring it up. And when I was leaving, he suggested that we start looking through cloud officer applications. Fuck, I hate that bastard.
Lusuria doesn't look overly pleased, but he keeps his smile as he suggests. Ooh, I could start a few interviews. They're always so sweet and innocent when they come to us.
Voy, I said we needed to find someone, not scare them off forever, you damned Okama.
The Italian underground economy have no more models of comparable strength,
Mammon comments, frowning. They set down a pair of cards, then lean forward to snag two of Belle's remaining pennies, despite the prince's protests.
Golomoska was the last of its kind.
And there's nowhere else they can find a military-grade killing machine powered by dying will flames. Squallow slumps a little more in his chair, rubbing his forehead and tries to think what he's going to say to Xansus. Nothing is going to save him from stitches. That's for certain.
She, another peasant?
Belle crosses his arms on the table, leaning forward with what could, knowing him, be either a leer or a bloodthirsty smile.
The prince doesn't approve.
The tenuous threads of Squallow's temper are rapidly giving way, and he surges to his feet.
Boy, no one asked you, you shitty prince.
Belle's grin gains teeth.
She. Of course the prince's opinion is the only one that matters.
Yeah.
It's a dark, dangerous drawl that instantly raises every hair on the back of Squallow's neck, and he jerks around to find Xansus leaning in the doorway, one hand dangerously close to his gun and a glass of whiskey in the other. Not a bottle, at least, which means Xansus is in a relatively good mood today. Of course, playful cats are a hell of a lot crueler than hungry ones, so Squallow isn't exactly going to take that as a blessing.
She.
Despite the standard grating laugh, Belle practically looks nervous.
Boss, you...
Shut up,
Xansus says, halfway between dangerous and uninterested. His red-brown eyes are on Squallow, intent and cold.
What did the old man say?
A shiver makes its way down Squallow's spine. This isn't a playful cat at all. This is a cat already on the hunt, ready to kill just because it can. He doesn't let himself waver, though. Doesn't let himself show weakness as he scoffs and folds his arms over his chest.
A whole lot of fucking nothing. Said we should start looking at applications.
Thankfully, Xansus looks as disdainful of this suggestion as Squallow feels. They're Vongola's independent assassination squad. The very last way they're going to find a cloud officer is through fucking interviews.
Fuck that shit and that shitty old man, too. Where is the piece of crap right now?
Iemetsu was happy enough to gossip about that once Squallow managed to get him alone and talking. The downside is that he now knows way too fucking much about the pathetic runty brat back in Namimori and all his stupid little guardians.
For being a crap parent, Iemetsu is still a fucking insane one.
Being melted down for scrap as we speak, Squallow says sourly. The CEDEF has most of their people on it.
Trash.
Xansus spits, eyes narrowing, and there's that particular tension in the air that feels like rage and death. He's going to start throwing around flames of wrath soon, and when that happens, Squallow wants to be out of the damn province, not just the mansion.
I, Mammon says thoughtfully, might just have a solution, boss.
Squallow has never been quite so grateful to the little shrimp before.
Well, he demands, rounding on the illusionist. Boy, fucking tell us already!
An empty glass shatters against the side of his head, almost bowling him over.
Shut the hell up,
Xanthus orders without looking at him, and raises an expectant brow at Mammon. They shift a little, pulling themselves up to sit on the top of the table facing Xanthus.
My former colleague, Verd. I contacted him 3 months ago for information regarding that job in Caltagirone, and he mentioned he had been experimenting on something with powerful cloud flames.
Something or someone? Lusuria asks, eyes too sharp behind his sunglasses to suit the fluttery idiot he normally plays.
With Verd, either is a possibility, Mammon says carelessly. He thought it was very powerful, though he wouldn't give me more information right then.
The wrinkled nose is clear.
Some people don't understand that time is money.
And if there's one thing Mammon will never fail to appreciate, it's money. Squallow rolls his eyes and glances at Xanthus.
Should we check it out, boss?
There's a pause, and then Xanthus straightens.
Get my coat, trash,
he orders Squallow. You're coming too.
You'd better be covering expenses, Mammon sniffs, but they leap down with no further argument and follow Xanthus out the door.
Squallow, of course, is left to do everything that actually matters in preparing for a trip to wherever the famously paranoid and reclusive inventor is hiding, and he has to fetch the shitty boss's coat like he's a fucking underling.
Boy, get it yourself! I'm not your... Ow! You shitty...
Waste of good tequila, Xanthus says derisively, watching the liquor drip off Squallow's long hair. He turns around and keeps going, waving a hand over his shoulder. And get me another bottle of that, too.
One of these days, Squallow's going to murder him.
Mammon disappears into the interior of the villa for all of 10 minutes before they reemerge and beckon Xanthus and Squallow towards one of the side buildings. Xanthus scoffs under his breath, but he goes nevertheless, and Squallow follows closely, one wary eye on their surroundings. He doesn't know a lot about Verd beyond his genius, but Squallow doesn't believe in being too careful where mercenary inventors are concerned, especially with Mammon involved. The illusionist has a tendency to squeeze every last possible scent out of those around him, and some people are less than appreciative.
This way,
Mammon says, tipping their head towards a staircase leading down.
Verd says he's locked in one of the labs. No one's been able to capture him or bring him out yet.
Him, Xanthus says, and it's almost a question. Mammon pauses for a moment, then nods once.
Verd was trying to find a way to cross dimensions and pulled something out instead. The subject manifested powerful cloud flames the moment he appeared, and other abilities as well. We can have him if we subdue him. Verd wants his lab back.
Squallow eyes Mammon skeptically. This sounds like the start of a bad idea to him. Mysterious people from other dimensions with strange powers and apparent rage issues? Then again, he should fit in perfectly among the Varia. Deliberately, Xanthus checks both of his guns, then strides past Mammon and down towards the lab like he's going to war, coat flaring out behind him. With a curse, Squallow hurries to follow, and an instant later, Mammon levitates beside him as he clatters down the steps. Xanthus can do pretty much anything he sets his mind to, so Squallow isn't overly worried about his safety. But if Xanthus loses his temper, they're going to have to start all over looking for a cloud officer. And that will be a pain in the ass. This thing's human, right? He demands, more than a little grumpy at the thought of forging the right papers if it... he isn't. And how do we know he's willing to kill if he's going to be on the fucking...
12 of Verd's assistants are dead,
Mammon says, mostly bored.
Most of them messily. 5 more simply vanished. Can't be found. This lab is the most secure in the world, and Verd's already had to reinforce it.
Well, that's probably a good sign, all told. The Vadia don't accept weaklings. And with most of them still smarting from their loss against the Vongola brat and his guardians, the addition of someone strong will be good motivation. Not that Xanthus's current motivations are probably much more complicated than strong fight me want, with some caveman grunting thrown in. Squalo would follow his boss into the deepest pits of hell with nothing but the faith that Xanthus would get them out again. But the man's an ass, and Squallow's never felt the need to sugarcoat things. He was an ass before he was frozen, and he's more of an ass now. And that's probably never changing. God, Squalo needs to get laid. He's been so busy juggling all of Xanthus's shit that it's been months. He'd had high hopes after Cavallone had invited him to drop by for dinner at some point. But between the fallout of the ring battles and the fit Xanthus threw over Gala Mosca, a billow of violet and deep orange flames explodes up the passageway, and Squalo curses and dives back behind the corner. Mammon is already there, still floating, and the illusionist looks interested and slightly wary. Powerful, they say, stretching a hand out towards the dissipating wisps as if to feel their heat. It's the boss. What do you expect? Squalo asks crankily, peeking his head out to make sure there isn't another explosion headed for them. The sounds of fighting are clear now, and he shifts his sword so that it will be slightly easier to attach if he needs to grab it suddenly, and heads down the remaining stairs at a run. Easily keeping pace in the air, Mammon sniffs faintly.
I was talking about both of them.
It's not as inaccurate as Squalo would certainly prefer. Xanthus is more than capable of tearing through pretty much anyone on the face of the planet, with maybe Tsuwada Tsunayoshi as the sole exception, and he usually does it fairly quickly. The fight below them doesn't seem to be abating, though. If anything, it's getting fiercer. Another wash of flames of wrath makes Squalo duck, but it's only a backdraft and clears quickly. Squalo takes the last flight of steps in a long jump, landing in the doorway of the lab, and immediately has to throw himself to the side as a body crashes down right where he had been standing. As he twists back to his feet, the human projectile growls, low and bestial, and levers himself up. He's young, probably still under 18, Squalo thinks with some surprise. Short, with messy black hair and a single red and black eye that spins like a pinwheel, and deep, twisted scars across one half of his face. And as he rises, one of Xanthus's shots goes right through him, as if he's a ghost, to punch a crater in the wall. The stranger spits something that's clearly an assumption regarding Xanthus's parentage, by the tone, but despite his looks, it's not quite Japanese. Squalo speaks a hell of a lot of languages. It's required of Vadia officers, but that doesn't sound precisely like any of them. There's no time to try and figure it out, either. The kid twists in a way that's more like a cat than a human, and flips out of the path of Xanthus's next shot as well. Orange flames just grazing his shoulder as he leaps, a foot against the top of the wall, launching him straight out, and he lands next to Xanthus, dropping to sweep his feet out from under him. Xanthus kicks out hard, making the kid roll back, and he only barely manages to jerk out of the path of the next shot. A third goes through him again, but this time when he rematerializes, he's noticeably paler. And when he hurls himself over Xanthus's head, it's slower than the last jump. Xanthus grabs him, one hand locking around his ankle, and with a grunt and a heave, hurls him straight into the far wall. This time when the kid comes up, it's wreathed in a swathe of purple flames, eye glowing violet. He lunges bodily at Xanthus, and when Xanthus sidesteps it, he immediately twists around with a leaf-shaped blade in his hand, stabbing for a kidney. The knife slams into the butt of Xanthus's gun, deflected to the side with a sharp jerk, and the kid curses again. This one's definitely a killer, Squalo thinks, And for one suicidal second, he wants to jump in, see how the brat does with that blade when he's facing a real sword. Xanthus really will kill him for that, though. There's nothing the boss likes less than other people stealing his fights. With a muttered curse, he steps back, making himself keep his hand away from his sword, and the kid vanishes. "Not an illusion," Mammon says, sharply from the doorway. And Squallow spares half a second to feel entirely bewildered, because what the hell else could it be? A sharpened edge of metal rests against the skin of his throat, and Squallow stiffens. He hasn't been caught so entirely off guard in years. Didn't feel so much as a hint of the kid sneaking up behind him, and that fucking reeks of some weird-ass ability none of them have ever encountered before. It's not flames, or at least not any Squallow has seen, and that puts the brat on the same level as Mammon as far as freaky shit goes. In a surprising turn of events, Xanthus doesn't simply shoot through Squallow to get to the kid, though he doesn't exactly lower his guns either. Eyes narrowed, he stares at the teenager for a moment, then scoffs and demands, "Can you even fucking talk?" There's a brief pause, as if the kid is working out the words. Squallow expects another burst of not-quite-Japanese, but instead, he says, carefully precise in a way that betrays unfamiliarity, "I can speak." Xanthus's attention sharpens, an almost tangible feeling, though he doesn't let his pistols so much as waver. "They have Italian in whatever dimension you're from?" he asks. Another pause, the knife still pressed almost delicately to Squallow's jugular. "The people here," the kid says at length. "One of them almost spoke like me. I made him teach me." By Mammon's reckoning, the brat hasn't been here more than 4 months. Squallow's reluctantly impressed. From almost Japanese to Italian in that time, not just a pretty face then. Or aware that a good grasp of the local language could mean the difference between getting away and getting caught if he had managed to break out of here. Either way. He meets Xanthus's calculating stare, sees the same realization in his boss's eyes. Between the intelligence, the speed, the flames, and utter lack of hesitation in going for a killing blow? Well, Vadia quality's a rare thing to find, even when you're looking for it. Xanthus grunts as if there's nothing particularly interesting about the brat's statement, then tips his chin at Squallow. "Kill him already. I'm getting bored just standing here." God, Squallow hates his asshole of a boss so fucking much. Forget killing him. Squallow is going to dump every last damn bottle of alcohol in the mansion down the drain. They'll see how Xanthus likes facing the rest of existence completely sober. "You have no loyalty to your men." It's not derisive, though. If anything, the brat sounds amused. The baby from before, too. He just wanted his lab back. Mammon, still hovering in the doorway, snorts in amused disdain.
"Vaird hasn't changed a bit," they mutter.
The kid's attention flickers for the briefest fraction of a heartbeat, but it's all Squallow needs. He throws himself backwards into his captor, mechanical hand snapping up to catch the knife, and as soon as he has a good grip, he ducks down and forward, using his momentum to flip the teenager right over his head. Squallow expects it to work, and with most people it would, but since he's apparently half cat, the damn brat lands on his feet and twists right out of Squallow's hold. He isn't fast enough to dodge Xanthus, though. With a heave and a snarl, Xanthus grabs the kid by the collar of his badly fitting, and clearly stolen, clothes, and slams him back against the wall. A jerk, a vicious kick, but Xanthus shoves forward and bodily pins the kid, arm an unmovable bar across his throat. Instantly, clearly aware of all the ways Xanthus could kill him without effort, he goes still, tipping his chin up as that pinwheel eye fades back to plain black. "What's your name?" Xanthus demands, a growl like a tiger rumbling through him. It gets him a snarl in return, but he drags the kid forward to shake him hard, and then slams him right back against the concrete. Your name, bitch. Don't make me ask again. Obito, the boy spits, full of clear fury and far too much deadly intent for a person his size. For all that they look like they're biologically the same age, he's a whole head shorter than Xanthus, leaner as well. But he still looks more than ready to go for Xanthus' jugular with his teeth if the opportunity presents itself. Xanthus doesn't bother asking for a family name, because of course he doesn't, as he looms closer. That teleporting you do, it takes a while to recharge. It shouldn't! The two words all but vibrate with frustration. Your world, there's practically no chakra. I can't make enough. He cuts himself off, but Squallow feels his eyes widening as he realizes what the kid's been doing. Cloud flames have the attribute of propagation, so Obito's been taking what little power he can find here and multiplying it to get enough for his ability. That definitely points to already having a good amount of skill with his flame, and Squallow exchanges glances with Mammon. As far as interviews go, this one's practically signed and sealed already. You ever killed someone? Xanthus asks, holding Obito's eye in a way that's clearly a threat. The question gets a twisted, half-fractured laugh, and Obito grins, lips pulling back from his teeth in a death's head grin. More than you can possibly imagine. I doubt that, Xanthus drawls. He looks Obito over once more, then drops him onto his feet and takes one step back, holstering his guns. I'm Xanthus. If you want out of this lab, you can join me. If you don't, you can fucking rot here. Squallow rolls his eyes and wonders why the hell he expected anything different. Obito gives him a wary look, then glances back at Xanthus. After I told you I killed people? Xanthus bares his teeth. It's not meant to be a smile. Welcome to the Vongola's Independent Assassination Squad, brat. You're our new cloud officer. The black eye widens, and whatever Obito spits at Xanthus in almost Japanese is definitely an insult, and probably directed at Xanthus' mother. Instead of getting angry, or breaking something over his skull, because unfortunately with Xanthus, those are two entirely separate reactions, Xanthus simply laughs in his face. Get the fuck over it, he advises. You can call me Sir. I'd rather gut myself, Obito retorts, and Xanthus looks him over. Squallow's jaw drops, and he doesn't have the mental capacity to pick it up again. Xanthus, whose sexual orientation is anger, who looks at girls to find their concealed weapons and nothing else, who was so bored by the strippers hired for Lusuria's birthday that he fucking fell asleep, lets his gaze drift over their new cloud officer from the top of his spiky hair to the bottoms of his bare feet, and then glances up to meet his hostile stare. Trash, he says, and it sounds. Squallow wants to say it sounds enthusiastic, except this is Xanthus, so it mostly just sounds bloodthirsty. Know your fucking place. He lunges. Obito dodges. There's a snarl like two wildcats stepping on each other's tails. And then orange and violet flames explode to fill the lab. Voy, you idiots! Fucking stop already! You're... A bullet of flames of wrath barely misses Squallow's head, and he screeches with fury and throws up his hands. I'm going to fucking wait in the car, he snarls at Mammon, and heads up the stairs. Whatever Vaird is working on, no matter what it is, there's no chance at all that it's any more scarring than whatever the fuck is happening down here. It's probably telling that Mammon doesn't wait around either, but drifts next to him as he stalks up the steps. I feel, they muse, like the betting pools in the mansion are about to increase drastically. Squallow doesn't even want to think about it. He's been perfectly fine imagining Xansys as someone without any sort of sex drive, because him being otherwise means it's something else Squallow will eventually be forced to deal with. He growls in irritation, whirling to punch the heavy stone wall, but watching it dent under his mechanical hand doesn't make him feel any better.
"Fucking why?" he says, almost rhetorically. "We aren't paid anything close to enough for this," Mammon agrees, pulling out a small notebook and writing something down. "I'll bill the boss. For you as well. Though I will, of course, be applying an accounting fee." Which likely means Squallow won't see a penny of it. Even if Xansys ever deigned to pay that kind of thing. Which he won't. But Squallow doesn't give a damn as long as he doesn't have to see that expression on Xansys' face again until he's well and truly drunk. Alcohol might numb the horror. Maybe.
"At least it wasn't the Vongola shrimp," Mammon says, in faint amusement. "Though Reborn's expression would almost be worth it."
Squallow opens his mouth to protest, pauses, closes it. Then he sighs, rubbing his real hand over his face, and agrees. "I'll drink to that."
"You're paying," Mammon says immediately.
Flames erupt behind them, curling up the staircase along with the sound of shattering stone, and Squallow just gives up. "I'm paying," he agrees. Because really, at this point, all he wants is a big bottle of whiskey and 15 minutes of peace to drink it in. If he's not mistaken, the main Cavallone house isn't all that far from here. Maybe he'll abandon Mammon to drive the boss and his new recruit back and start his weekend early. He fucking deserves it after today. And if Xansys wants to throw a fit about it, Squallow will tell Lusuria about this little infatuation. They're Varia. They're supposed to fight dirty.
A sinister kid, his aching home, runs to meet his maker. A trapjack sprint from the day he's born, straight into his maker's arms. And that's me, the boy with the broken halo. That's me, the devil won't let me be.
Chapter 2. Coda.
DiMatteo doesn't find about the Varia's new cloud officer until after the first damages reports hits his desk. Or, more accurately, Tsuneyoshi's desk, since he's summering in Italy at Reborn's insistence to learn the ins and outs of the family. DiMatteo is amenable to this, even if Tsuna is a little young. Then again, Reborn is his teacher, and that makes him the exception to every rule. His first hint that something of note has happened is Tsuna's loud and horrified yelp as he drops a thick, stapled sheaf of papers like it's about to bite him. Lifting his head, he blinks at Tsuna, who stares at the report with something akin to horror.
"Something wrong, my boy?" he asks affably.
Tsuna very visibly marshals himself, likely because Reborn promised to drop by sometime after lunch, and carefully flips past the first page.
Xansys wants money? It's a funds request for the south wing of the Varia Mansion.
Well, DiMatteo thinks, more or less amiably, at least the Varia didn't level a small town. Again. After he warned them they'd be rebuilding the next one by hand, they miraculously managed to understand the phrase minimum of collateral damage preferred. It might be fairly optimistic of him, but DiMatteo is counting it as his birthday present from Xansys.
Oh, are they remodeling?
Tsuna turns to the next page and blanches chalk white.
Rebuilding it, he stutters.
DiMatteo freezes.
Come again?
The boy doesn't quite squeak, which is an improvement over the first week he was here. He does read, with a little more alacrity, though.
They need a new south wing, he says weakly. And half of a new entrance hall?
It was, Belphegor, and... He blinks at the other name, clearly startled. And that's a very faint narrowing of his eyes. It's the look of a boss assessing a threat, Timoteo thinks almost fondly. Good. Tsuna's learning. Even if he did get a light start of it.
It says Cloud Officer, but I thought Golomoska was destroyed by Hibari?
And if the Hibari boy didn't finish it, the CEDEF certainly did, Timoteo thinks, losing a good portion of his humor to suspicion. When he sent Squallow away with the idea of hiring a Cloud Officer who was a little more human than a machine that fed off of life force, he'd expected it to go the way most of his suggestions come orders tended to with the Varia. Xansus ignores him for several months, or even years. Timoteo keeps hinting at a beneficial course of action. Nothing gets done, and eventually things blow up in the Varia's faces, and Xansus pretends the suggestion come order was actually his own idea all along, and finally does it. It is less, Timoteo thinks a touch wearily, like having a son, and more like having a very large cat. It was, he tells Tsuna absently, trying to decide on the best course of action. No name given. When Tsuna shakes his head, he sighs a little, because of course it wouldn't be that simple. If he goes in person, Xansus will take offense, and he's only just begun the most tentative of bridge-building between them. Better not risk it. What a fortunate coincidence, he says, making it cheerful, and can pinpoint the exact moment. Tsuna's hyper-intuition warns him what's coming. You've been cooped up in here far too long, my boy. It's about time you took a bit of a trip. You'll need Xantus's signature on these. He drags out the all-too-familiar stack of paperwork and drops it in the middle of Tsuna's desk. Or, barring that, have Squallow forge it. Belphegor and the Cloud Officer will need to sign... as well on forms 1 through 12. Tsuna stares at the mountain of paperwork with clear horror, opens his mouth to try for a refusal, and breaks off with a screech as Reborn drops from the ceiling fan and lands on his head.
A field trip, Dame Tsuna, he says with familiar malicious cheer. Aren't you excited to see the beauties of Italy and learn more about the Familia?
I'm going to die!
Tsuna wails, but when Reborn kicks him in the head, he groans, collects the stack, and offers Timoteo a tremulous smile. Timoteo smiles back and silently wishes him luck. It's not easy to be one of the few people on the planet with any measure of Xansus's respect. Hopefully, Tsuna will come to appreciate the position the way Timoteo himself failed to.
Tsuna would rather go through Reborn's hell torture all over again than do this. He would rather do literally anything than this. But Reborn is still far too terrifying, and Tsuna is still horrible at saying no. So he pulls himself out of the big, intimidating black car in front of the Varia headquarters and hopes they throw a nice funeral for him. Kokudera will probably cry. Ryohei will probably cry too, honestly. But that's somehow less worrying, since Gokudera crying is usually accompanied by Yamamoto attempting to comfort him, which is usually accompanied by dynamite. Tsuna doesn't really want his funeral interrupted by dynamite.
Hey, this place isn't so bad,
Yamamoto says cheerfully, dragging Tsuna out of terrifyingly vivid daydreams, daymares, of his casket, being launched into the stratosphere by Gokudera's misaimed explosives, with Reborn dressed in a priest outfit, waving a solemnly sadistic goodbye. Tsuna looks for himself, because he's learned by now not to trust anything that comes out of Yamamoto's mouth. Ever. And if one ignores the conspicuous absence where a good quarter of the house used to be, Yamamoto is mostly correct. It's a stately old mansion in the middle of the countryside, surrounded by forests and fields. The visibly aggravated Squallow waiting for them in front of what used to be the front steps rather takes away from the image.
What are you doing here, runt?
He demands, scowling suspiciously at Tsuna, in a way that makes Tsuna want to hide behind the nearest solid object.
Hey, Squallow! Yamamoto says, waving enthusiastically, like he's greeting an old friend. How are you? Squallow gives him a sour look. I wasn't talking to you, brat. What the hell does the usurper want with us? Tuna thinks about protesting the title, because it's not like he's a willing part of all of this at all, but gives it up as a lost cause. No sent me, he says, and kind of wants to die at the way he stutters. Paperwork? If anything, Squallow's expression gets worse, but he sighs and waves a hand in surrender, turning to stride back into the mansion. Fuck, whatever. Anything that'll make you get that pathetic expression of yours away faster. My office is upstairs. Tuna doesn't bother asking for Xanthus. If Squallow is willing to sign, and the way Timoteo said it makes Tuna wonder if Xanthus has ever done his own paperwork, he's not about to argue. Who's your new cloud officer? Yamamoto asks cheerfully. Because of course he does. Tuna quietly has a minor panic attack, but Squallow just rolls his eyes. Is that why the old man sent you? He scoffs. Figures. The one time Xanthus doesn't completely blow him off, he acts like the fucking world is ending. Tuna isn't entirely sure he'd phrase it like that, but he's not going to argue that point either. He ignores the way Yamamoto is laughing. Better for his sanity that way, and darts up the stairs at Squallow's heels before Levy, just emerging from his room at the end of the hall, has a chance to see him. Everyone involved has to sign too, he says, more apologetically than he'd like. Fuck, Squallow says, but since it sounds more like fuck me than it does fuck you, Tuna manages not to flinch. He pauses, expression twisting like he's eaten something bad, and repeats, fuck. Something wrong? Yamamoto asks brightly, but his eyes have sharpened in that particularly unnerving way they do sometimes. The one time Tsuna tried to mention it, Yamamoto just laughed a little, scratched the back of his head, and asked, oh, like your eyes do, Tsuna? Tsuna had dropped the subject quickly after that. Squallow obligingly turns his scowl on the other swordsman. Fuck you, I'm just strategizing, he groans, fisting his hands in his long hair and pulling. Goddamn shitty boss and his goddamn shitty fucking taste. Tuna's hyper-intuition is low-key screaming in the back of his head. That's never a good sign. Yamamoto must feel it too, because he takes 3 steps forward and 1 to the side, putting himself halfway in front of Tuna without even seeming to think about it. Something wrong with your boss, then? Squallow flips him off, and then turns on his heel and stomps towards the 3rd door on the left. He throws it open with a loud, Voy! Where the fuck is that idiot prince? And where's the bloodthirsty brat? She, there aren't any idiot princes here, Belle says, sprawled out across a couch with a book covering his face. Only idiot swordsmen. Voy, you shitty bastard! Where do you think my little moon child is? Lusuria asks, giggling far too happily for Tsuna's comfort. He notices Tsuna and Yamamoto peering around Squallow and brightens. Oh my, did you bring that heartthrob of a boxer with you? I'm aching for another rematch with him. A fluttery wink. And then maybe some one-on-one time afterwards, if you know what I mean. Tuna makes a mental note to keep Uriohe as far away from the Varia as humanly possible, even as he smiles weakly. Sorry, only Yamamoto this time. Belphegor, can you... Before he can finish, Squallow yanks the briefcase out of his hand, stalks over, rips it open, and shoves the appropriate forms in Bell's face. Fucking sign it, asshole! You know where! Belle scowls, but takes the papers and the pen Squallow practically shoves up his nose. Paperwork is for peasants. Paperwork is for anyone who fucking destroys half of headquarters, Squallow bellows at him. Fucking sign it before I make you do it in blood. Looking incredibly put upon, Belle starts signing. Tsuna sort of half wonders if they could clone Squallow, because if he can control the Vadia, the rest of the Mafia world would probably be a piece of cake. Except, then they'd have to clone Xanthus, too, because there's no way to picture Squalla without Xanthus, and one Xanthus is already too many, in Tsuna's opinion. As if in answer to that thought, there's a roar from down the hall, full of familiar rage, and Tsuna twitches hard, turning and expecting to see Xanthus bearing down on him, guns drawn. Instead, however, there's a snarl fit to match Xanthus's, and the sound of a door slamming open with enough force to crack the plaster. Xanthus's flames of wrath flare, heavy enough to send a tremor of primal terror down Tsuna's spine. And there's a sound like a body being slammed full force into a wall. Again? Squalla demands, sounding like he's on the verge of tearing his hair right out of his head. Goddamn, really? I think it's adorable, Lusuria coos, clasping his hands next to his cheek. Ah, young, if you say love, I'm going to gag, Squalla threatens. Where the fuck is Mammon? We're going to need another illusion before those shitheads traumatize the entire Vadia. Before Lusuria can answer, there's the sound of steps, quick, light, and almost soundless in the way of he bodies. Half a second later, a young man, Xanthus's age, stalks into the room, dark hair looking like he just rolled out of bed, wearing a white shirt meant for someone two sizes larger than him, and a pair of pants. The scars on his face make Tsuna pale, and the look in his remaining eye is deadly enough that Yamamoto actually grabs Tsuna and pulls him back behind the swordsman's body. The Cloud Officer, Tsuna assumes, feeling a little faint with terror. Are those hickeys? Lusuria squeals delightedly. Oh, you naughty boy! The Cloud Officer gives him a dark look, but when the martial artist grabs him, he doesn't resist, just lets Lusuria tip his head up and to the side to get a better look. I am going to kill him, he says to Squalla, and that's an accent Tsuna hasn't heard outside of his guardian since he left Japan. Want to fucking repeat that? Xanthus growls, stalking in behind him. He spares a disdainful look for Tsuna, which is still more than he would have given him before the ring battles. Not that Tsuna is happy about that. Before throwing himself into the throne-like chair that's clearly his. He is, at least, more thoroughly dressed than the stranger, though his clothes are as disheveled as ever. Bastard! The Cloud Officer spits. His black eye shifts with an almost dizzying twist, becoming a red and black pinwheel that spins lazily, and the pale violet of his flames color the air around him. But at least he doesn't attempt to go through Lusuria to get to Xanthus. Xanthus gives him a grin that's all teeth and no humor. Yeah, probably. If Tsuna didn't know better, he'd swear Xanthus just made a joke about his parentage. And judging by the dumbfounded look on Belle's face as he drops the pen, he wasn't the only one who heard it. To his utter surprise, the stranger snorts, amusement curling one corner of his mouth. He bats Lusuria away, though not rudely, and takes a step back to turn and study Tsuna. Yamamoto is dismissed with one long glance, but his eye narrows the moment it lands on Tsuna's face, fills with a strange sort of recognition and nostalgia. Vongola decimo, he says, more or less politely, and ignores the scoff Xanthus gives. Sawada Tsunayoshi, pleased to meet you, Tsuna blurts, accidentally in Japanese, and bows automatically. To his shock, the Cloud Officer bows back and says in the same language, Uchiha Obito, it's an honor. You give him a family name, but not me? Xanthus grunts. And he's frowning faintly in a way that makes Tsuna's sense of self-preservation gibber quietly in the back of his mind. He's not an asshole bastard like you, Obito retorts, turning a poisonous stare on the body of boss. In a rush, Squalla snatches the papers from Belle, snarls, Boy, don't you idiots dare! And dives like he knows they're not going to listen to him. And, in a whirl of air, Obito vanishes completely, just as a shot from one of Xantus's pistols slams into the floor. They look like they're having fun, don't they? Yamamoto asks cheerfully, even as he herds Tsuna back towards the door. At the same moment, Obito reappears out of nothing right above Xantus, stabbing down at him with what looks like a kunai. Xantus twists aside, letting it clang off the metal of his chair, and in the same movement, he grabs Obito by the arm and drags him up. Tsuna nearly trips over his own feet with a yelp. Xantus and Obito are kissing, vicious like they're about to draw blood, and entirely unconcerned by the sudden retreat of all the present Vadia members. Squallow is the last out, dragging Lusuria by his green-dyed hair, and he slams the door pointedly behind him. "Good riddance!" he shouts back through the wood. But if it makes any impact at all, Tsuna certainly can't tell. What? Tsuna asks weakly, still trying to figure out what he saw. This time, Squallow's grimace is entirely agreement. "Believe me, Shrimp, I feel the same fucking way. Come on, I can make up a signature for that idiot ninja, too." That, Tsuna thinks, is probably the best idea he's heard all day. He hurries to follow the second in command, very carefully ignoring the noises coming from the room behind them. There's lots of things he doesn't need to know about, and that's at the very top. The end. The music used in this podfic is Sinister Kid by The Black Keys, which is also where the title comes from. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!